This is Powering Michigan's Future. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Here's Ken Rogulski.
On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, we'll spend time getting ready for some fall fun with the folks from the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy and Harvest Fest. Talking to Michelle Marine, Director of Programming for the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy, highlighting Harvest Fest going on October the 22nd. We'll also talk about the many events planned around the commissioning of the USS Detroit. With U.S. Navy retired John Paracchio, Chairman of the Commissioning Committee, and we'll learn more about the great work of Macomb Habitat for Humanity with Brianna Kane, Development Director for Macomb County Habitat for Humanity, highlighting their Harvest Fest and their Motown Review event. Stay tuned for WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58 on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
Once again, here's Ken Rogulski. We kick off tonight's program by welcoming Michelle Marine, Director of Programming for the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy, to discuss Harvest Fest. Michelle, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Good to have you. Tell us about Harvest Fest. What's it all about?
Absolutely. So it's a free, family-friendly event, our second annual Harvest Fest Detroit, and it's a wonderful fall festival along our beautiful DeQuinder Cut taking place on Saturday, October the 22nd from noon to 5 p.m.
Now, is this on the riverfront or on the DeQuinder Cut?
It's actually on the DeQuinder Cut, and folks can actually enter from the Gratiot entrance ramp.
Okay. So what type of activities you got planned?
Yeah, fantastic. So first of all, it's safe trick-or-treating for kids, which is a wonderful thing to have right here in the city. We have hay rides, face painting, a couple of bounce houses. We've got some live music and performances, a great pumpkin patch that the kids can take home a pumpkin. We've got games and giveaways, lots of great things for the kids and their families to enjoy.
So can you take a bike to this thing or do you have to walk it?
Absolutely. You can take bikes or you can walk. Just come on down and enjoy the festivities.
So we used to go to the oil ranch down south where you'd go and do pumpkin things and you'd get your corn and everything like that.
Yeah.
But you're bringing the country into the city.
There we go. We love that. Yes, absolutely.
So how do you get more information about this for people who want to find out?
Sure. We've got a website, harvestfestdetroit.com, for more information.
Now you got sponsors?
Absolutely. So this is actually hosted by us, the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy, along with Park Solutions. And then we have a couple of great presenting sponsors for which we're so grateful to have their support, the Electrical Workers Union, Local 58, and the National Electrical Contractors Association also joining us.
You know, not long ago, we were covering news stories right along Belle Isle and right along the riverfront. Some out-of-towners were there, and they were just marveling at how good the riverfront looks. And I think they were from Arizona. They never saw this much water, but they said, this is the best-kept secret we've ever seen.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. We've worked really hard to build a safe and beautiful gathering place for all to enjoy. We've got more than 3.5 miles of beautiful river walk along our east riverfront. And then we have a beautiful addition about 0.5 mile on West Riverfront Park now that is also open for concerts and activities and all sorts of fun along the river.
So when this is all done, where will the riverfront river walk start and where will it end?
Yes, absolutely. So our entire project is 5.5 miles in length, and that would stretch from the Ambassador Bridge all the way to just past the Belle Isle Bridge at Gabriel Richard Park.
So is it all open yet, or we still got some more to hook up?
Correct. We still have a few parcels that we're working on hooking up and going a little bit further west from West Riverfront Park toward the Ambassador Bridge. So that will be in the works in the years to come.
Any idea when it's all going to be done?
Oh, I would say in total probably another decade or so, but certainly we're making wonderful progress and polishing up a few of the pieces that we've already got on East Riverfront and, of course, beautiful West Riverfront Park. So there's plenty for folks to enjoy in addition to the DeQuinder Cut, which is just about 2 miles in length as well.
That's true. You can go from uptown into downtown right along the river.
Absolutely.
Michelle, tell us about some of the priorities of the Riverfront Conservancy.
Absolutely. So what we're about, as I mentioned earlier, is to make a beautiful, safe gathering place for all. We really want this to be sort of an extension of folks' backyards, so they can come down, they can recreate, ride bicycles, relax, enjoy some of our wonderful programming. We offer programming pretty much 7 days a week during the summer months. So there's always something to do on the riverfront, but the beauty of it is that you can also sit back and relax and just enjoy the gorgeous scenery as well.
It's amazing how many people who work at the Rensen still do their lunchtime walk up and down the riverfront.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, we have a program called Live the Riverfront that encourages folks to get out and about on their lunch hours. And we had several hundred walkers that came out and just enjoyed the beauty of the river and all the great amenities and just meeting each other on their lunch hours, which is really fantastic to have just out your back door.
If there was one thing you'd want everybody to remember about the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy, what would it be?
Absolutely, that we like people to come out and recreate and enjoy. So it really is a jewel of the city and a place to gather, and all are welcome. We see folks coming from all over not only the country, but other countries as well. And it's just a beautiful place to be, very proud of our beautiful heritage and our gorgeous nature and all the beautiful amenities that we have along the Riverwalk.
You know, if you remember growing up in Detroit, like most of us did, the riverfront was not that beautiful. I mean, there was a flour mill there, ferries used to park there, and it really was rather ugly. But here now, it's just a transformation right before your eyes. Looking back at this, do you have some key accomplishments that you guys can really put your finger on?
Absolutely. I would say the public-private partnerships that we've been able to encourage, we couldn't have done this without all the great partnerships that have helped to make this possible. And as I said, just making a beautiful gathering place where everyone can come and just recreate and enjoy such beautiful scenery. And as you mentioned, it was once an industrial wasteland, so we're very proud that it's been transformed and it has become just a great, great place to gather with friends and family alike.
Before we run out of time, any upcoming events on the way?
Actually, you can check our website at DetroitRiverfront.org. We're always adding that, and we'll be doing some winter programming this winter, so please check that out. And as I said, in the summer, we do seven-day-a-week programming, so if folks would like to just keep a tab on that website, that's the best place to get information on our great programming.
And again, Harvest Fest, the dates?
Yes, October the 22nd, that's Saturday, noon to 5 p.m. on the DeQuinder Cut at the Gratiot entrance.
Michelle Marine, Director of the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy, thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your having us.
Stay tuned for more of Powering Michigan's Future only on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here again is Ken Rogulski.
Learning about the commissioning of the USS Detroit with Captain Gordon Cole, U.S. Navy retired.
Hello.
Good to have you.
Great to be here.
Captain,
thanks.
Always great to have a captain on the deck. And John Paracchio, Chairman of the USS Detroit Commissioning Committee.
Fantastic to be here.
Did I pronounce the name correctly?
Yes, sir.
So sensitive because everybody always mispronounces my name, too.
Oh, that's terrible.
Gentlemen, good to have you both here today.
Thank you.
John, tell us about the USS Detroit. Everything we've heard a lot about it. Give us a thumbnail sketch of what this ship is like.
So this is one of the most technologically advanced warships in the U.S. Navy. Indeed, when we commission her on 22 October at the GM Riverwalk in Detroit, she will be the newest vessel in the fleet. And she's capable of doing over 45 knots, so you could water ski behind her. That's pretty impressive.
That's very impressive.
378 feet long, 56 feet wide, a very, very impressive warship.
And looking at this, it's not like any warship design you've ever seen before.
No, it's a very futuristic look. It's mostly to provide what are called stealth features to the ship, so it's very difficult to detect using radar. So our enemies will have a tough time finding this ship. And she's designed also to fight pretty close to shore. That's why we call her a littoral combat ship, meaning littoral, near to shore.
So how shallow can this ship operate?
The ship draws 13.5 feet, so it can go places where our blue, what we call the Blue Water Navy simply cannot go, and can engage with our allies around the world, again, in places where our Blue Water Navy simply doesn't have that capability.
So, big time's coming up. Gordon, why is the USS Detroit so special? What kind of missions will it accomplish?
Well, it's special for a number of reasons. Like John said, I mean, just the capabilities of the ship are really pretty impressive. It's a small, fast, agile ship. It's designed to go close into shore and do a variety of missions. In another way, it's very important, too, because it's only the sixth ship named USS Detroit in the entire Navy, and it's going to be the first to be commissioned down here. And John is a bit more of an historian than I am, and I'd like him to tell you a little bit of the facts that he makes so fun.
Sure. So the most salient point that I always note about the history of the ships named after the city of Detroit is the very first one started its life as HMS Detroit and was captured by Commodore Perry at the Battle of Lake Erie in the War of 1812, thereby serving both sides in that conflict. And this is why our Canadian friends are so involved with the commissioning. We've reached out to Canada. Mayor Dilkins, the mayor of Windsor, is on our honorary committee. The ship will be, we're going to get into that later, but the ship will be visiting Windsor for several days. And we're making history there because this is the first time that a U.S. Navy warship that was commissioned in the United States made Canada its first international port of call.
And there was a USS Detroit in Pearl Harbor.
There was. It was a cruiser. And actually, it was at Pearl Harbor. Survived. It was not damaged during that that battle, and then was in Tokyo Bay for the surrender.
But this USS Detroit is not a cruiser.
No, it's actually a new class of warship, littoral combat ship, and again, it's designed to do things that the rest of our Navy has not been able to do, at least with this set of capabilities that that Gordon just mentioned.
You know, doing 45 knots, this probably doesn't have a conventional diesel motor. Is that true?
It has combined jet propulsion systems. In fact, it has no propeller.
It's a jet boat?
It has variable pitched water jets and combined gas turbines and diesel engines. So it is a very, very sophisticated propulsion system.
John, you've been involved in this project. Why is this so important?
It's important for a host of reasons. I mean, it's an unqualified positive for our city, for our state. It really complements wonderfully the rebirth of our city. And I think that that's the overarching message. One of our missions as a commissioning committee is to promote the city, promote our state, also to, and I know you're going to talk about this later, promote service to our country. So we have special events for veterans, and we're reaching out to schools and community groups to participate. So it's been that type of experience.
So anybody can get on board and take a look at this thing?
So we have organized group tours for most of the week, and then on Wednesday, the 19th, from 1 to 5, the ship will be open to the public. You just show up, and as long as there's time, you will get a tour.
And toward that, if I might add here,
sure.
I would strongly encourage everybody to come down and see this ship, too. I mean, it's fantastic. As John said, it's up more than a football field long.
Wow. Right?
It's 50-some feet wide. Now, by the Navy's standards, that's small. But one thing I wanted to tell you about that what's really cool here is, and John touched on it, but the LCS ships were designed around mission packages, making them sort of like a plug-and-play sort of thing. The ship can be configured for different missions. So there's an anti-submarine package they can plug in and make it a sub-hunter. They can take that out and put it in an anti-air package and have it provide buy that. They can take that out and put it in an anti-mine warfare package and have it do that. The ship is very flexible. And John mentioned it's a very high-tech ship and a very high-tech crew. And for those who may take a tour of the ship and go down and see, you're going to see crewmen and women who are young. I forget what the average age is, but it's early 20s, if that. And these folks are highly trained, highly capable, very competent, and the ship has got a lot of capability plugged into it. So they're a very high-tech thing. And then, you know, I like to say, too, in keeping with the spirit of Detroit and our automotive history, it's fast.
Coming out of Detroit, it's got to be fast. Why are battleships and all Navy ships still painted gray?
Well, part of it is to blend in with the sea.
So it is a camouflage.
Well, it's coincidental, I guess, that you mentioned that, because one of the littoral combat ships is now sporting a unique camouflage pattern in service. And I can't remember if it's USS Fort Worth or USS Freedom, but the commanding officer has actually painted a really different kind of camouflage.
But I'll check that out.
Right.
Gordon, you were in the Navy. What's the special meaning involved with this project for you?
Well, Ken, let me give you a little background and then kind of ease into that. Like you, I'm a longtime Detroit person. I more or less grew up on the southwest side of the city, went to school at Holy Redeemer High School, attended Wayne State, graduated from there, and I lived downtown. I joined the Navy and retired from the reserves with 30 years of combined service, and I was a Navy public affairs officer. So I worked on a lot of large events and things similar to this. And during that time and now, I own a public relations firm here. So my whole life has been working with public relations sorts of things, very connected to the Detroit community, very proud of Detroit and the Navy. So 3 years ago, on learning that the Navy was going to build and commission a new USS Detroit and that the ship sponsor was going to be Barbara Levin, and knowing the tremendous amount of work that the Levins have done boosting Detroit, with my background, it was a hand in a glove, and I was honored, and it's a real privilege to work on this. So with that background, what John touched on again, we've seen the city go a long way, and it's a passion. This ship is important for the city, and it's important for the people of the city of Detroit to see it and understand this is their ship. It's named for the city. It's only the sixth one. And of all the things the city's been through, this is just yet one more rallying point, a crown jewel, if you will.
I mean, just think what the city has been through in the past 3 to 4 years, and all of a sudden now there's a new warship that's going to be commissioned on the banks of the Detroit River. State-of-the-art, something like you've never seen before. This has to be a double pleasure for both of you guys.
Absolutely, and I just want to point out, the welcome we have will be incredible. You'll never see anything like this. The Michigan chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution will be there dressed in red, white, and blue, waving American flags as the ship is escorted up the down to the Detroit River, with the Detroit fireboat.
And I want to say, too, it's been a labor of love. Our sponsors, General Motors, the City of Detroit, the City of Windsor, virtually everybody, the Port of Detroit, everybody is just so bitten by the energy this thing generates.
The USS Detroit bug.
There you go.
Gentlemen, stand by. We're going to have more Empowering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Stay tuned.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58.
Fascinating discussion tonight on the USS Detroit. All the commissioning festivities coming up with Gordon Cole, U.S. Navy retired, John Paracchio, chairman of the USS Detroit Commissioning Committee, the Metro Detroit Council of the Navy League, and Jerry Eden, president and CEO of Synergy System Solutions, the supporter of the event. Jerry, good to have you with us tonight.
Great to be here, Ken. Thank you.
Tell us about how you've been supporting the USS Detroit and all the commissioning activities that are right around the corner.
Well, in many ways, as a veteran out of the U.S. Army, I was honored and duty-bound to do whatever I could. I was approached through an organization which I belong to, the American Legion and the American Legion Riders, and they've been around since World War I. And I was approached by a rider to get involved with the USS Detroit. When I found out that it was coming here, I was just amazed at the classification of the ship, what it could do. And as soon as I found out that it had Detroit's name on it, I knew that I just had to do something about it. I got in contact with Captain Gordon Cole and basically said, what can I do to help you get the word out? What can I do to make this event special, historic? I was handed literature. I literally, anybody that I came in contact with, I said, have you heard about the USS Detroit? And I was stunned and amazed by just about, I don't know, if I met 10 people in that day, I would say 7 out of 10 people hadn't even heard about it. So I handed them the pamphlets. Do you want to be a sponsor of this ship? As soon as I find out when the ship is coming, I'll let you know. To this day, I met somebody today that hadn't even heard about it on the phone. And I said, my gosh, let me send you the information for the general public. Here's when you can come. First come, first serve. I mean, go get there because this is an historic event for you and your family. Once in a lifetime, you probably won't see it again. Go there. Come one, come all.
So when you said this, what was their reaction?
They were blown away. And when you say that, there's been only 6 other ships commissioned as the USS Detroit. I believe it's 6. Is it 6?
Yeah. It is the 6th.
So it is the 6th. To have that in our city just put on a ship in the Navy, it is just what a piece of history, as it should be. I mean,
right.
the Detroit. I mean, I mean, I think it was 1812 was the first one. The War of 1812, the HMS Detroit, and to have this one in my lifetime, just an amazing feat again. And when I tell anybody about it, they're just blown away too. They can't believe it. And when you see it, I've seen pictures of it. I haven't even seen it yet. I mean, you will be blown out of your shoes.
You've read a lot about this thing.
Absolutely.
What's the one thing that impresses you most about the USS Detroit?
You know what? The thing that blew me away is when I actually talked to the designers of the ship was how it actually moves in the water. You would think that you'd have some giant props on it. It is jet propulsion. So,
And it can turn on a dime.
Absolutely. So when you think of, you know, a huge battleship trying to come into port and it has to dock, I mean, that in and of itself is a feat. And it takes a lot of people to command something like that.
You're talking about seamanship.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. But here you have the littoral cruiser doing this. Now it has jet propulsion, so it basically can move sideways. So when somebody says, how is that possible? Well, you're talking about, think of it as, I don't want to say something like a jet ski, but in a sense,
pretty much. It
is the same principle. So that blew me away. I mean, and to have that thing move out so fast, where you could water ski behind it, I'm not saying somebody would from the Navy.
I bet you'd have volunteers for that.
I'm sure you would.
Jerry, you've been an IBEW NECA contractor. Why did NECA and IBEW Local 58 become a sponsor of the USS Detroit?
Well, that's easy. That's a no-brainer. The IBEW has been in Detroit for well over 100 years. They have been synonymous with this city. I don't think that you'll find a building of any importance down in Detroit that hasn't been wired by the IBEW. And then in 1923, NECA came about, and it shortly thereafter partnered up with the IBEW. So for them, and when I approached them as being a sponsor for the USS Detroit, it was a no-brainer. Why wouldn't that happen? I mean, it's, again, an historic event, and they were proud to become part of that. It was just, again, a no-brainer. I mean, they both go hand in hand. Detroit, the IBEW, and NECA, they are the USS Detroit.
I hear you. Gordon, give us a rundown of the events coming up. When is it going to start? When does it arrive?
The show starts this Friday. The ship will be in sometime before the welcoming ceremonies, which will be from 2 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The public is invited. John mentioned the Daughters of the American Revolution. They're going to put on quite a show. And then on Saturday. We'll have a number of organized group tours. The ship's going to be here from the 14th to the 22nd when it's commissioned. So it comes in Friday. Saturday, there's some organized tours. It's going to be tied up behind the GM Rensen. Anybody can go down and see it. Sunday, there are going to be miscellaneous activities and events going on down there. Monday, we've got a school group coming in, and in the afternoon, GM's veterans, the Detroit Veterans Day Parade Committee, some more children's groups, some school groups. It's going to be great. Then on Tuesday, we're calling it Veterans Day. We're going to have a lot of different...
Are you going to have lines that day?
Going to have veterans groups down there all afternoon. Veteran bikers, Vietnam veterans, VA hospital folks, the VFW history group. It's going to be great. Wednesday, more public tours. Comerica Bank is sponsoring a luncheon. It's very, very good, too. And then, as John said, in the afternoon, we're going to have public tours. Now, there's information on the website what the public needs to do. That's USS Detroit, LCS7.com. But folks are going to need a picture ID, small carry-on bag, if any, no weapons or alcohol, of course, and get in line and take that tour. It's going to be great. Then Youth in Media Day is going to be on Thursday the 20th. We're doing some things with the Science Center. It's really a fascinating show the Science Center folks have put together. They're going to have children down there, ship's crew making technology presentations and things, and then bringing the kids to see the ship. It's just going to be a lot of fun for them. On Friday, there are going to be some more organized tours of the ship. Some of our sponsors, Quicken Loans, Title Source Group, some other folks are bringing people down. Saturday, the public commissioning is going to be from 12:30 to 3. The veteran bikers that Jerry was talking about are going to make a parade down, stop, salute the ship. That's going to be quite a show, really. And then the public is going to be invited to a public reception from 12:30 to 3 o'clock in the GM Winter Garden. And then after that, on Monday at some point, the ship will sail across to Windsor and stay in Windsor till the 27th with a
variety. So you can see it from downtown and see what it looks like on the other side of the river.
That's right.
John, what are events available for veterans before we run out of too much time here?
Okay, very quickly, the important thing is that because of the unevenness of the deck of the ship, we cannot accommodate disabled, non-ambulatory veterans. However, what we're doing is we're bringing the ship to our disabled veterans with an event at Atwater Brewery around 11 a.m. on Tuesday, our Veterans Day. So we're bringing the crew to that venue, and we're going to let the veterans interact, and then we'll take them down to the ship for a photo op or whatever they like to do at the Riverwalk.
Now, can you imagine, this thing was built up in Wisconsin, what the pleasure craft fleet is going to look like as this thing comes down into Detroit? Have you guys ever thought of that?
Oh, sure. And, you know, we've made the Coast Guard really nervous about it. So, but again, it's an international waterway. You know, you can, if you're out on your boat and you want to try to keep up with a ship that moves that fast, that's great. You just need to keep a comfortable distance or the Coast Guard will come and visit you.
I mean, seriously, it's not going to be doing 45 knots on the Great Lakes or down the Detroit River by Belle Isle, is it?
All I'm saying is that it could, you know. and I just want to add a couple of quick things. So Gordon mentioned the website. That's very important. We have a very active Facebook page. Also, sponsorships are still available. There's information on the website. We are going to have a public celebration as well Saturday evening at Burt's in
Eastern Market. So a whole host of activities.
And one other thing, Ken, I'd just like to say thank you to the Stroke Company on 300 Riverfront. They gave us a segment for the veteran bikers that will be honoring the ship. And thank you, Strohs.
Jerry, Gordon, John, thank you all for joining us. Stay tuned for more of Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's Ken Rogulski.
We welcome Brianna Kane, Development Director for the Macomb County Habitat for Humanity. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Later this month, Macomb Habitat will hold their annual gala fundraiser, the Harvest Home Motown Review. Just by the name, it sounds like you want to go to this thing.
Yes, we're so excited. So we have the Funk Brothers and the Contours performing.
The Funk Brothers?
The Funk Brothers.
The Contours.
The Contours.
Ooh.
Detroit legends, right?
That's right.
So we are super excited to have them. It's on Friday, October 28th at the Macomb Center for the Performing Arts. We're entertaining our guests with a gala. They dress up to the nines. past appetizers, open premium bar, which is really exciting. And then we have silent auction, live auction items.
So this is the Macomb Center right on Garfield and Hall Road.
Correct.
Right? So what can we expect there besides good music and good food?
Live entertainment. We'll be there, you know, learning all about Habitat, what we do. And, you know, the whole point of this fundraiser is to provide those Macomb County families with safe, decent, affordable housing.
Give us a brief rundown. Reacquaint us with Habitat for Humanity.
I would love to. So there's a lot of things that Habitat does that a lot of people don't know about. We obviously have volunteers. One of the things that people think that Habitat does is we just build homes and give them away, and that's not the case. We have, you know, corporations come out. We have individuals come out. We have the faith communities really engaged. And what they do is they come out. They will either work on renovating a home. They can work on building a new home. And they're given to families that are working in the community, they're tax paying, you know, there's certain requirements that they have to meet, and they purchase a mortgage through Habitat. So volunteering is obviously one way to get involved. Donating, obviously these houses are not paid for. Another myth, I guess you could say, that Habitat faces every day is that, you know, we're government funded or we're given money by Habitat International, and that's not the case. And, you know, with even being in Detroit, Detroit is lovely, and the need is greater than just the city of Detroit.
True.
So there is an affiliate here in Detroit that does great work. We just collaborated with them last week for World Habitat Day. But we've served 11 communities in Macomb County since we started in 1993.
Now, a lot of people think you just give away homes. That's not the case.
It's
because
not.
Somebody who has to qualify for a home, they have to show that they know how to keep a home up, that they can pay for it, make sure the taxes are taken care of.
Yep.
So how long does this take to really walk somebody through the program and get acquainted with home ownership?
You know, it depends on the where they're at when they meet with us. There's a credit score that they have to have. So if their credit score isn't where it needs to be, we work with them. We put them through financial coaching.
You can help with their credit score then.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's a salary requirement they have to meet. There's a credit score they have to meet. And it takes, you know, it could take a year. It could take longer depending on, you know, another thing that people don't know about our homeowners is that they put in sweat equity. So
how do you mean sweat equity?
Sweat equity is they do work for Habitat in a lot of ways.
Oh, so they work for Habitat for Humanity.
They do. So they do 250 hours of equity, and that's another way that they pay towards building their home.
So when somebody works, gives you guys sweat equity, yeah, you get some labor, but does that really teach them more about home ownership?
Yeah, absolutely. So Habitat has quite a few programs on teaching these people on how to fix things in their home. You know, a lot of us don't know how to, you know, do so little things around the house that, you know, if you bring a contractor out, it's like $75 an hour or something like that.
Minimum.
Yeah, at least. So,
I mean, can you teach them how to fix a leaky faucet, for example?
Absolutely.
A light, you know, a switch goes out, and you know how to replace a switch.
Yeah. We teach them, you know, all of the things that homeowners would like to know, that should know, and we really educate them on owning a home. It's everyone's dream to be able to own a home.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Now, explain how the fundraiser helps you guys continue to do what you do.
So we have built, you know, up to 27 homes at a time in Macomb County.
In the time, you mean like over a week's period?
No, gosh, no. It takes probably, well, it depends on what is going into that house, too, if there's a basement or...
You know, dig a hole, pour the walls. You know.
Exactly. So building a home, you know, we're doing about 3 or 4 this year. And so about 1 a quarter is what we shoot for.
The fundraiser is to bring awareness to you guys. You're looking to get more sponsors?
Definitely. So sponsors is wonderful. We love our sponsors. That's part of my job, so...
Gotta have those.
If anyone's interested. So we have our fundraisers. We have, you know, putting a homeowner in front of our audience to tell their story is another great thing that...
Really?
Yes, absolutely. It really hits home for these people in showing them what owning that home does for them, what their money does, what their volunteerism does, you know, all of these things. And you know, for the attendees, it's great because they're able to put a name to a face and a home, and, you know, it just really connects the dots for us.
But this has to be great for volunteers and for sponsors, because
Absolutely.
All of a sudden you're having this gala, you're making money to keep the process going.
Right.
But all of a sudden a sponsor can look at a homeowner, and a person who helped build that house can look at a homeowner who they have helped turn their life around for the better.
Absolutely. It's just all the warm fuzzies, and it's for a great cause.
Yeah. Now, some of the sponsors you got in this year's event?
So our biggest sponsors are St. John Providence. We have AT&T. We have IBEW Local 58 and Southeastern Michigan NECA. We have the St. John VNE Catholic Church, Comcast, and ECS partnership with McDonald's.
So what have you guys been doing this so far this year? How many homes have you put up? I mean, you're getting new sponsors, you're getting more material together,
yes.
You're looking for volunteers. What's this year been like for you?
So I can kind of give you a rundown of the donation segment. So you can get involved with, you know, if your business is looking to give back, you know, if you have a percentage of your budget or your time that you need to give. Corporate is great, and it really boosts the morale in the office of, you know, people getting out of the office, going out, being outside, and helping the community. Churches, the faith community, they're another segment of people that are working on our houses, working on donating materials, working on doing just private donations, fundraising. Individuals, we have a ReStore, which a lot of people don't know about. You can donate your items. We will come to your house. We will pick them up. Yeah, we will pick them up from you if you're in Macomb, obviously. And there are quite a few things that you can donate. We pick.
Yeah, well, specifically, what are you looking for? Appliances that still work? You're looking for good furniture?
Appliances, furniture, couches are our number one seller at the moment, so that's all exciting. We have plumbing, flooring, lighting, cabinets, doors, those kinds of things. So you can donate those things, or if you're looking to revamp, you can come in and shop.
So basically, too, if you want to donate, you're always open, but can somebody who's not getting a home buy from you to help?
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
This is almost like your own thrift store.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
So where are your stores located?
So we have two stores in Macomb. One is at 9 Mile and Van Dyke in Warren, and the other one is at Grosbeck and Cass, just north of Cass Avenue
just
in Mount Clemens.
Outskirts of Mount Clemens.
Yes.
Now, when's the date again?
October 28th. It's a Friday night, $100 a ticket. You can't get all of these things, the entertainment, the food, the open bar, all for just $100.
And historic Detroit entertainment, too.
That's right.
I mean, you got the Contours, you got the Funk Brothers, you got the Motown sound. I mean, it sounds like a great night.
Yeah, so we're very excited.
Brianna, before we run out of time, you've got a special guest coming to the event that night?
We do, yes. So one of our homeowners is going to be there to tell their story, and I'll give you a little sneak peek if you want. So the little girl, she has always wanted a puppy. And when she wrote us our thank you note, she put on there, "Thank you so much for giving me my first backyard. Now I finally got the puppy that I always wanted." It was just, oh my gosh, right to the heart.
Give us the website again, please.
Yeah, the website to buy your tickets or for more information is macombhabitat.org.
Brianna, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This has been Powering Michigan's Future, sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58 and the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Ken Rogulski. Thanks for joining us.